Isaiah 45, 21 and 22. Well, actually two. We'll talk a little bit today about just look. Isaiah 45, 21. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it that time? Have not I the Lord, and there is no other God besides me, a just God and a Savior. There is none besides me. 22, look to me and be saved. Say that with me. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Amen. We can close a book and go home. We've already said a mouthful today. Let's talk a little bit about look. The definition of look, when I'm going to talk about a word, I like to look up the definition of it so that I really understand what I'm trying to communicate. Does that make sense? You ever like looking up stuff in the dictionary? I read the dictionary one summer. I read the encyclopedia another summer, but I like to read. Look, the definition of look is to direct your eyes in a particular direction, or to gaze in wonder or surprise. Does that make sense? That's what look means, you know, when you say look. Looking is easy. Just about anyone can do it, right? So one of the first things we teach our babies is to look. Look here. I mean, even a child can look. I saw on a video on the computer the other day about a child that was 6 months old and it had been deaf from birth. And they fitted it with hearing aids, and it was able to hear its mother for the first time. And when they put the hearing aids on that child, he was sitting there like this, and the mother started speaking behind it, and the baby turned to look. When someone speaks, you turn to look, right? That's it. You teach your child, look here, especially if you're trying to tell them something that you want them to grasp fully that they're not supposed to do again or that they're supposed to. Look here, what am I telling you, right? Don't we do that? Look. Look, and anyone can do it. We teach our babies to do it. Look is one of the first concepts that we understand. In the first words that we learn to read. Do you remember your first grade primers that you had there, you know, with the Alice and Jerry or I forget, Sally and Puff and Ruff and whatever? You know, that you say, oh, 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 look, 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 right? See, Ruff, run. Oh, look, look. That's one of the first words you learn to read, right? Look. You remember that? I remember when Luke first got his glasses. Before he got his glasses, he absolutely could not see. He could not even see people's faces to determine him. And so he was a wook or wook. And then after he got his glasses, I would tell him, here. Look at Grammy's lips. He said, look. And he said, oh. And from then on, he pronounced the word correctly. You have to look even to be able to speak correctly, right? Okay. Look. Of course, and then we always have the infamous, look at the camera and say cheese. Right? I never did really understand about cheese, except maybe when you say cheese, it makes you smile or something. You know, I don't know. They say... the early bird gets the worm, but it's the second mouse that gets the cheese. That's something that you'll catch that later. Yeah, right. Yeah. And we usually turn our attention and look when someone says look, especially when it's a good old redneck boy that says, hey y'all, look here, watch this. Something spectacular is fixing to happen. Get your cameras. You know, we're probably going to wind up at the ER later when somebody says that, right? Hey, y'all, watch this. How many of you done that? Yeah. Some of you are honest. Some of you are liars. Everybody's had one of those, y'all watch this, moments in their life. I can remember a few. But so you might be asking, what has this got to do with my message today? We as humans have a tendency to make everything very overly complicated. That's human nature. We want to insert our opinions and insert our thoughts and insert our way of doing things, and we over-communicate, right? Over-complicate things. We've taken something as simple as the Bible and made it very complicated, and overcomplicated so much that most people think they can't understand what the Bible means and what it's trying to convey to us. We've so overcomplicated and made it so confusing. It's so simple. The Bible is simply God's revelation of Jesus Christ to man. The whole Bible is just Him revealing Jesus Christ to us. He's pointing us to Him. Jesus Christ, all through the Bible, is saying, "Look to me." If you look in every chapter, every book in the Old Testament, there's some relevance or something pointing to Jesus Christ. It's pointing toward Him. Now, I'm not going to take the time to go through every book and every chapter, but I'm just going to bring a few things to your mind in the Old Testament that is pointing to where Jesus is saying, "Look to me." Can we do that? Nod your little heads. Help me out here. In the Old Testament, Jesus is saying, "Look to me," in the Passover lamb. You remember the Paschal lamb and the Passover lamb? Jesus said, "Look to me," in the Passover lamb. That's symbolic. Y'all hearing where I'm going? Are you with me? You understand it? He's saying, "Look to me in the manna from heaven." That's Jesus providing. "Look to me in the manna from heaven." He's saying, "Look to me in the bronze serpent that was raised up on the staff, so you could look at that bronze serpent and be healed and not die." Are you with me? He's saying, "Look to me in the kinsman redeemer of Boaz." That's a type of Christ. He's saying, "Look to me in the stone that the builder rejected." That's pointing to Jesus Christ. He's saying, "Look to me as the fourth man in the fiery furnace." That's our redemption. He goes with us through the trials. Are you with me this morning? He's saying, "Look to me as the great shepherd." The whole Bible saying, "Look to me." That's Jesus Christ saying, "Look to me. Just look to me." Are you with me this morning? Then, of course, we get to the New Testament. It's talking about Jesus pointing to Jesus Christ. It's saying, "Look to me as the baby in the manger." Right? "Look to me as that baby in the manger that the shepherds came. Look to me as the child that was sought after by the wise men. They brought him gifts to honor him. Look to me as that child." It says, "Look to me as the youth in the temple confounding the teachers of the law." Right? "Look to me. Look to me as the one who turned the water into wine." As the Bible is pointing to Jesus Christ for us to look to him. "Look to me as the one who fed the 5,000 with two tiny fish and five loaves of bread." Look to me. "Look to me as the one who opened blinded eyes. Look to me as the one who made the lame to walk again. Look to me who's made the dumb to speak. Open deaf ears. Look to me, our healer." He says, "Look to me, the one who stood and called Lazarus from the grave." He said, "Lazarus, come forth." "Look to me. Look to me in the garden. Look to me in the garden praying, 'Not my will, but thine be done.' Look to me." He said, "Look to me as a lash rips the flesh off my back. Look to me. Look to me, Jesus Christ." He says, "Look to me, the one carrying the cross through the streets, the narrow streets of Jerusalem. Look to me, the one who was lifted up on the cross on Golgotha's hill. Look to me as the one who was laid in a borrowed tomb and sealed with a stone." He said, "Look to me, the one who was risen victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Look to me. Look to me, Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. The whole Bible is God way of pointing man to Jesus Christ. You hearing me? "Look to me." That's what he's instructing us to do. It's not difficult. Salvation is another thing that we have overcomplicated. As man, we've injected our opinions and our thoughts and our rules and our regulation into salvation. I'm getting some deer in the headlight looks. You understand what I'm saying? It is really very simple. All you have to do is look to Jesus. That's what he said. Look to me and be saved. Look to me. Romans 10 and 9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Look to Jesus for salvation. Look to Jesus for salvation and not of yourself. Ephesians 2 and 8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one may boast. There's nothing in this world you can do to earn your salvation. So many people say, I'm not good enough to come to church. Yes, you are. You're as good as anybody else. So, well, I'm going to clean up my life and then I'll come to church. It don't work that way. You come to Christ and let him clean up those things in your life by looking to him. No one is worthy of the gift of salvation. No one has earned that gift of salvation. No one can do anything to earn or to make Jesus love you any more than he does right now. He loved us so much that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. We were in our sin, and he gave his life for us. There's nothing we can do. We have to look to Christ. Look to him. That's the only way that we can be redeemed. We look to him for our salvation. Look to him for our redemption. Look to him. Am I making any sense? Look to him. He's the only way that we can be saved. He says the only way to the Father is through the Son. Look to him. We got to put our faith and trust in him. Nothing that we can do. Nothing that the law, we can fulfill the law. He came so that the law would be fulfilled so that we could be redeemed, right? And we look to him because he's our salvation. We look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12:1 says it this way. Let us also lay aside every encumbrance. You know what an encumbrance is? Something that weighs you down. Something that gets in your way. Like an overcoat. Or a backpack. Some people, this is not in the notes. Some people like to put all that baggage that they got in a backpack and carry it around with them. There's no way you can win a race carrying a backpack. You don't see those Olympic runners suiting up with combat boots and a full rucksack and try to win that 100-yard dash, do you? They lay aside everything that's encumbersome. Sometimes they lay aside too much, if you ask me. Hebrews 12:1. Let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes. Fixing our eyes, what does that mean? That means to look, right? You fix your eyes means to look. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. That's the only way we can win the race, if we're looking to the finish line, and that's Jesus Christ. We have to look at him because he's the one that's already run the race for us. We just look on him and look to him and he carries us through, right? The only means of salvation is Jesus Christ, not in ourselves. I know I'm repeating myself. I'm trying to hammer this home. Too many times people think you got to do something. I got to do something. I got to do something to earn my salvation. No. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and look to him and confess him and you're saved. Now, because you're saved, you're going to do something. And that we can talk about that in another sermon. But the only means to salvation is Jesus Christ. Look to him and confess him, believe on him, and you're saved. Right? Nothing that you do. I'm going to read a passage of scripture in Romans chapter 8. If you had the book of the 8th chapter of Romans, you could make it to heaven. I'm going to read it in the TEV. I want you to listen carefully as to what it says, and try to bring all of this together, okay? Romans 8:1 said, there is no condemnation now for those who live in union with Christ Jesus. You know what condemnation is? That's accusation. That's when you're maybe indicted for something. There's no indictment against you if you're in Christ Jesus. That means you've looked to him and there's no more indictment against you. They're not going to put you in jail because there's nothing to put you in jail for. That makes sense? There is no condemnation there for those who live in union with Christ Jesus. 2, for the law of the Spirit which brings us life in union with Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. What is he meaning by that? The old law of the Old Testament was a law of sin and death. If you broke the law, you died, right? Like Romans said, the wages of sin is death, right? But then it goes on to say, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Look to him, and you don't have to pay the wages of sin. Does that make sense? Nod your little head. What the law could not do, because human nature was weak, God did. He condemned sin in human nature by sending his own son, who came with a nature like man, sinful nature, to do away with sin. You can't keep the law in your own self. It's impossible in human nature. But you know what human nature wants to do? It wants to try. Right? Just like if you tell your kids, don't touch that, it's hot. What are they going to do? They're going to try. But we can't do it. And the Bible tells us we can't do it. We have to look to him. Everybody say, look to him. God did this so that righteous demands of the law might be fully satisfied in us who live according to the Spirit and not according to human nature. What is he saying? If we live according to the Spirit, if we're looking toward Jesus Christ and living like him, living by looking to him and living with him leading us, we're no longer under the law. We're made right. We're in right standing. That makes sense? All right. Those who live as their human nature tells them to have minds controlled by what human nature wants. Those who live as the Spirit tells them to have minds control what the Spirit wants. Well, that makes perfect sense. If you do what your human nature tells you to do, what are you going to do? Just like the commercial says, if it feels good, do it. You only go around once in life. Grab for all the gusto you can get. If I lived according to what my human nature wanted, I would still be in bed. And I would have ice cream for breakfast. And cheesecake for lunch. But I know that's not right. I have to buffet my flesh and make it mind me. And so when you live according to how you live, when you look to Jesus, then you're going to live according to the Spirit of Christ as he directs you. Does that make sense? And so then you're not going to go wrong. You're not going to go down the wrong path. We'll get to that again in a minute. To be controlled by human nature results in death. If I ate ice cream and cheesecake every day, all day, it would result in death. To be controlled by the human nature results in death. To be controlled by the Spirit results in life and peace. How many of you need some peace in your life? And so a person becomes an enemy of God when he is controlled by human nature, for he does not obey God's law. And in fact, he cannot obey it. Did you hear what it said? It said, when you're not obeying God's law, you become an enemy of God. Who wants to be an enemy of God? Sign me up for that one. I don't think so. You cannot, but your human nature cannot compel itself to obey the law, so you look to Jesus. You look to Jesus. He fulfilled the law. Does that make sense? Those who obey their human nature cannot please God. But you do not live as your human nature tells you to. Instead, you live as the Spirit tells you to, if in fact God's Spirit lives in you. Whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. What did it just say? It said if we got God's Spirit living in us, if we look to Jesus, if we look to Christ and live like him and ask his Spirit to take control of us, guess what? We're living according to what God wants us to do. Because we're listening to the Spirit and we're making every move that he wants us to make. We're following his footsteps. We're letting him shadow our life and take us where he wants us to go. We have the mind of Christ. We're the first and not the last. Come on. And we're telling our human nature to take a hike, take a back seat. Human nature, I'm not dealing with you because I'm a child of God and I'm looking to Him. I'm a friend of God, not an enemy. But if Christ lives in you, if Christ lives in you, the Spirit is life for you because you have been put right with God, even though your bodies are going to die because of sin. Your spirit is put right. But this old human body is just a temporary shell. Because of the sin in the world, our body's still going to decay and die. I know that every morning when I try to get up. This old knee is to clicking. But if you have Christ living in you, your spirit is alive. And you love life. And you just have a great time. Because Christ is living in you. And you're looking to Him. And things are going. Can anybody say amen? Amen. If the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from death lives in you, then He who raised Christ from death will also give life to your mortal bodies by the presence of His Spirit within you. I got the life of Jesus living in my soul. Huh? Come on. So what am I saying? To be saved, we look to Jesus, right? That's the only way we can be saved is to look to Him. The only way we can live an overcoming holy life, free from sin, is to look to Him too. The same Jesus that we look to for salvation is the same Jesus we look to keep us saved. Look to Him. That's the only way that you can stay saved. It's to keep looking to Him and let Him guide your life and not rely on that human nature that's going to cause you to mess up. You know, you can lie to yourself better than you can lie to anybody. You can get yourself in more fixes than you. Too many times we get ourselves in a mess and we blame the devil on it and he didn't have nothing to do with it. We give him more credit than he's due. We've done it to ourselves. Look to Him. Jesus is saying, look to me. Look to me. Look to me. My grandfather would say, trust the Lord. Just trust the Lord. I don't know if he totally grasped what he was saying, but I think I'm getting it. I think I'm getting it in my old age. You got to trust in the Lord for everything. Trust the Lord to get up in the morning. Trust the Lord that you're going to put the key in your car and it's going to start. Trust the Lord that He's going to provide for you. Look, that's the same thing as saying, look, just look to Jesus. Look to Jesus for salvation. Thank God we can look to Jesus for salvation. Look to Jesus for our daily provision. Thank you, Lord, for this food we're about to eat. Thank you, Jesus, that He provided you jobs. Thank you, Jesus, that He provides money so that you can get the food to go on your table. And if you don't have that, He'll provide somebody to set it on your front porch. Look to Him for your daily provision. Look to Jesus for your healing. You can read the fifth chapter of James. It tells all about that. Look to Jesus for your healing. Look to Jesus for your freedom from sin. For anything you need, look to Jesus. Does that make sense? Just look to Jesus. Whatever you need, He has already provided in His substitutionary work on the cross, His death, burial, and resurrection, and ascension to heaven. He's provided everything that we need for salvation, for an overcoming daily life, for our daily provision, for our healing, for our mental stability, for our peace. He has it all. Just look to Him if you have a need. Anybody have a need today? Let's pray.
Thanks for listening today. We hope you were encouraged by the Word of God. If you would like more information on North Webster Community Church or any of our other ministries, you can find us online at www.agspringhill.com.